Well, welcome to Church at Home. Welcome to the live stream, City Central Presbyterian Church. Or you might be watching the recorded version of this, or you might have received a DVD. My name's Brett Richardson, and I'm the pastor here at City Central Presbyterian Church. Each week, as we come together in this different format, we've been sending greetings to one another to try and connect a little bit with one another. So I'll just share the greetings that have already come in to us. Ruth says hi. The Metasellas say hi to us. Nicole, Jeanette Williams says hi to us. The Richardsons Juniors say g'day to us. And Jenny and Alan also want to send their greetings along to us this morning. So hi to all of you out there. Please be sending your greetings in so we can just share them with everybody else, just to get a sense of connecting with one another. We invite you to get the most out of this time of gathering together. And God speaks to us in Psalm 46, and he commands us to be still and to know that he is God. I guess for some of us, because of the virus, we've been made to be still, and for some of us, our lives have exploded a bit. We are called by God to come together as his church, to be still, to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. And that is what we do when we come together as a church. And we do it through song. We sing praises to God. We read God's word. We pray to him. And we contemplate God's word as we have the time of the sermon. And we'll be doing all of those things today. And today we continue our series in the Bible book of Proverbs, Ancient Wisdom for 21st Century Living. And today we're looking at the very important subject in Proverbs of words, the way that we use words. And later Luke is going to be sharing with us, and he's going to do it without a safety net. We're actually going to be doing the sermon live today, so we'll see how that goes. So as we begin this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand. So if everybody could please stand up, if you could stand, please. And I'm going to read part of Psalm 19, verse 14. And I'm going to ask you to repeat each line after me as a prayer to God, as the way that we use our words and the way that we're going to use our minds this morning as we gather together. So would you please just repeat each line after me as a prayer to God as we start. May the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Well, we've got some more greetings coming along here. We've got the rest of the Williams family says g'day. Mel and Alex, Sunita and Fiona, Anne, Graham, the Christians, Neil and Kathy, the Fernando family, Angie, Vic and Robin and Karen all want to say g'day to you. So please be sending those greetings in as we gather this morning. We're going to start by praising God, and we're going to be singing two songs. I praise the name of the Lord, our God, and holy, holy, and holy. And then Ben is going to pray for us. So let us sing together, oh, praise the name of the Lord, our God.
Well, good morning. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God in heaven, we thank you for the love of your Lord Jesus Christ, that we as people who through our sin have put him on the cross, had him separated from you, he would be the one who sits at your right hand and intercedes for us through his resurrection. We thank you that we're able to come to you in prayer this morning and bring all our thoughts before you. Father God, we pray for the COVID situation. We continue to bring this to you in prayer. We ask that you would continue to guide the government who have dealt with the situation well so far. We thank you that we're able to return to some sort of normality in our lives as we're able to see people and as we're able to this morning join together in small groups to worship you. We thank you that you have designed us for community and that this being separated from one another really does remind us of the truth of your word and that we yearn to meet with one another and hear about how you're working in one another's lives. Father God, we pray that you would be working the hearts of the people of Australia, Lord. We know that there's a lot of talk about how well we've done as a nation in combating the virus. But Lord, I pray that the as a nation, we would acknowledge that you have been merciful to us in this situation and that you have blessed a nation who has rejected you for a long time now. So Father God, I pray that you would be working in the hearts of the people of Australia, that we would be turning back to you as our King and Lord, and we would be acknowledging that you are sovereign over all things, and it is by your grace that we have been saved from this disease. But more importantly, Father, we pray that they would see the need that they have for the grace that you offer in saving them from their sins. Father God, we pray for people as we return to our work and our normal activities. Pray for those people who are feeling anxious about that. Pray that as Christians we would fully rely on you because you're worthy to be relied upon. Father God, you don't break your promises. And that, yeah, we would really be trusting in you and trusting that you have worked all things good for those who love you, for those who are called according to your purpose. Father God, we don't know why it is that through your sovereign will that you have allowed this situation to arise that has caused so much death and so much disruption to our lives. But we do know that in Isaiah 55, it says that for your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I pray, Father, that we would be truly trusting in this and trusting in the power that you have as the creator and sustainer of the universe. Father God, I pray for schools that as they return on Monday. I pray for the students who might be anxious. I pray that you would be working the situation out for good. I pray that for our SRE teachers as they return to schools, I pray, Father, that you would be really smoothing a path for them as they often have hostility towards them when they are in public schools. And Father, with the added pressures on teachers now because of the mislearning, I just pray that this wouldn't be a further hindrance to the proclamation of your gospel in these places. Pray that as a church who's a member of this scripture board, that you would help us to continue to support our four teachers through prayer and through financial support, that this work that you have provided for us to be part of would be able to continue for many years to come. Father, pray for the church workers. I thank you for the work of Luke and Nicole with the youth group and kids talks. Just pray that you would continue to strengthen them in that and in their studies. I pray for the work that Tron is doing, and Brett, Ruth, Jenny, and Bruce. I just pray that you would really help them during this time and as things move back to some normality, that you would help them to resume those ministries in a wise way that honours you and seeks to serve the gospel, but is also wise in the way in which we're dealing with such a different situation. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Ben, for that prayer. And thank you also for those that have helped us during this time in preparing those songs for us in the and the music and the singing. It's been such an encouragement to be able to continue to sing together as a church, even though we're separated. So thank you very much for all those that have been helping us and serving us in these ways. Maybe you've joined us for the first time today, or you've been joining us as we've been going on the live stream, but we don't know you yet, and we would love to get to know you, and the ways in which you can do that is by just contacting us through the website. You can see at the bottom of the website how you can do that. We would love to get to know you some more. So please, if you are joining us and we don't know you yet, we'd love to get to know you. We've had some more greetings come in, so I just want to send them out to Chris and Marilyn, Lee in China, Ben and Mona in Indonesia. Well, a big g'day out to you guys. Glenn and Barbara, Marcella and Bruno, and Ali in the Northern Territory, and your new little one. G'day to you guys up there. Just some news that I need to share. What we're trying to do, as we're being allowed to gather or to have up to five people in our homes, we're encouraging people to have people in their homes for home church on Sunday mornings. If you would like to host one of those, if you think you can do that in a safe way, we'd love to get to know that. And if you could please contact me so we can start organising some home satellite churches while we're doing the live stream. Please talk to me about that. Or if you'd like to go over to someone's place, please let me know about that. Because we do have groups of people that are gathering in their homes and having, I guess, a more of a church experience, a more of a normal church experience as they gather together. So please let us know if you would like to do that. Also, we've been talking about this for a number of weeks because of the hurricane and the disaster that they had in Vanuatu, and the Bible College that we have, Tulua Bible College in Vanuatu, that the Presbyterian Church runs there. We needed to respond to help that Bible College get back on its feet again by sending funds along to that Bible College. You can see on our webpage how you can send money to Tulua. But if you need some help with that, please be talking to us and we can help you if you want to transfer some funds to that. Well, we're coming up to the kids' spot now. We've got Nicole's kids' spot. So a big question is, how did you go with the memory verse this week? Let's pass it on to Nicole.
Hi, everyone. For our kids' spot today, I've brought along tube of antiseptic cream. I wonder if you've ever had to use this on maybe a cut or a burn or something like that on your skin. And I'm going to see how much I can squeeze out of this into here in 10 seconds. Okay, so let's see how easy it is to get this out. All right, maybe you can count me. Ready, set, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, okay, that was pretty easy to get out. Oh, let me show you all the cream in my bowl here. Okay, I wonder if in the next 10 seconds I can try and get all of this back in here. Do you think that's possible? All right, ready, set, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Uh-oh. Okay. Not as easy trying to get it back in. In fact, I don't think any of it went back in. That might have been impossible. Now, you might be wondering, Nicole, what are you doing squeezing out antiseptic cream in our kids' spot? Well, today we're learning about words and what Proverbs says about the way we use our words. And I think there's actually three things that are the same between this tube of antiseptic cream and our words, and one thing that's different. Now, the first thing, I wonder if you might have thought of this, is that words like this Savlon are really easy to get out, but impossible to take back. And in Proverbs, it tells us this. In Proverbs 12, listen out for this in the Bible reading, it says, Proverbs 12, 23, be sensible and don't tell everything you know. It's so easy just to get all of our words out. It's effortless, but once they're out, we can't take them back. And so we need to be careful and think about the words that we say before we say them, because once they're out, we can't take them back in again. Now, the second thing is that our words are strong and powerful. I wonder if you've ever had to put antiseptic cream on a cut and it really, really stings. But then other times you might put it on your skin and it really, really soothes. Our words are kind of like that. Our words are powerful for good or for bad. In Proverbs 12, it also tells us in verse 18, sharp words cut like a sword, but words of wisdom heal. So our words can do two things. They can be sharp and sting if we use bad words, or they can heal and soothe people if we use words to build them up. The third thing that this cream is like words for is that if you use this cream over time, it will help your skin heal. If you don't use this on your skin and you have got a sore, then your skin might not heal like it's meant to. And it's the same thing with our words. Our words have consequences and impact in our lives and other people's lives. Proverbs 12:14 says, we are rewarded or punished for what we say or do. And so our words have consequences. They change the way other people feel, other people act, and they also change the way that we feel and we act. Even the words that we say to other people will affect us. So three things that we learn about Proverbs from this tube of empty Savlon. Once they're in, we can't take them back. They have consequences. And they're powerful. But there's one way in which words are really different to this Savlon. Do you think I would open up my mouth and pour the tube of Savlon into my mouth? No, no way. Savlon belongs on the outside of your body. It's for the outside of your body. But our words, they're actually from the inside. They're from our heart. And so the words that we say actually tell us something about what our heart is like. And the good news is, if we trust Jesus, we can pray to God that he would keep changing our hearts to make us more like Jesus, that we might grow and use our words for the good of other people as we love them, and to show the world how much we love Jesus and what God has done for us. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us words. Thank you that just like you speak, we are able to speak as well, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to think about the way that we use our words, that we'll think before we speak, that we'll realize that our words are powerful and have consequences, Lord. Lord, we know that our words come from our heart. So please keep changing our heart day by day to be more like Jesus, so our words can love other people and love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole, for that. And after our gathering this morning, as we're leaving, we're going to have a photo montage of the memory verse that we talked about last week. And that's going to be coming up as we're leaving our gathering this morning. So please don't run away from that. We've got a photo now of a little gathering that happened during the week of Chris and Marilyn, of Marcelo and Bruno, and of Danny. So let's have a look at that photo. Yeah. Oh, It's happened. Sorry. Okay, so we're going to be coming to the reading of God's Word now. So just to help us as we think through the reading of God's Word and then the sermon, we're going to be singing Be Thou My Vision. We want God to be our vision in our life and His Word to be central. So let us sing together Be Thou My Vision.
Good morning, everyone. Now comes to our Bible reading time. Our Bible reading today is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13 to 23. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13 to verse 23. And this is special treatment for Jenny. It's on page 636 for your borrowed Bible. And so Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13 to 23. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests the lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of a fool blurts out folly.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you on this windy morning. My name is Luke. Wherever you were tuning in from, thank you for joining us. I do wish that I could see your faces, but we'll have to wait for that soon. If there's anything that you hear today that you'd like to discuss further, please do drop us a comment on Facebook or use the contact form on our website. We'd love to chat with you some more. This morning we are continuing our series in Proverbs, Ancient Wisdom for 21st Century Living, and today we're going to be thinking about our words. Words are a pretty big part of our lives. We use words to talk to other people, we use words to tell jokes and make people laugh, and our words can make people cry. We use words to order a coffee, we use words to ask a question in class, we use words to book an appointment. We use words to tell mum that it's raining and the washing is getting wet. We use words to sing songs about a yellow submarine, and we use words to yell at the TV. Winston Churchill used words to bolster England. With words, Wilberforce brought the slave trade to its knees. With words, John F. Kennedy made the world believe they could put man on the moon. And Martin Luther would not take back his words, bringing God's people back to the Bible, God's Word. Words are powerful and are used by all. And so a question that we need to ask is, how should we use our words? And more specifically, as followers of Jesus with our lives, how does He want us to use our words? Today we are going to see that the wise in Christ understand the power of their words and use them for the good of others. The wise in Christ understand the power of their words and use them for the good of others and ultimately Jesus. And as we dig into Proverbs, the framework that we need to have in our heads is that these are principles and not promises. They aren't a formula. Do this and then every single time that will happen. They are a guide do this, and that might happen. And if it doesn't, it's still how Jesus wants us to live, following him. Principles, not promises. Okay, before we go any further, let's use our words now and pray to our God. Please pray with me. Father, thank you Father, thank you that though we are separated, we can gather around your word this morning. Lord, please help us to understand your words and help me to speak faithfully from your word. Amen. For us to understand how God wants us to use our words, we first need to know where our words come from. The wise in Christ know their words come from their heart. Our heart is our control center. It's who we are. It's what we value, what we find funny, our dreams and hopes, what we think. Our heart is who we are. Our words that we speak reveal our heart. In Proverbs 15:7, we read, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not upright." The lips of the wise spread knowledge. It's not that this person has wise lips, it's that they are wise, and the words of their lips reveal who they are. Their lips are not the source of the words, they are the mouthpiece for their heart. Our words do not begin in our mouths or in our fingers, they begin in our heart. And in contrast, Proverbs says that the fool does not have a good heart, and we know that by the words that they speak. Proverbs 17:28 says that even fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongues. The Bible says that if a fool doesn't speak, we won't know that they are a fool, and we will think that they are wise. For out of their lips their heart speaks, and who they are is revealed. So when a fool speaks, we will know they are a fool because of what they say. But when a fool remains quiet, well, we'll just think they're a quiet person. In the TV show The Good Place on Netflix, there is a character called Jason. Jason is introduced to us as a monk. And for the first little while of the show, he doesn't speak, and everyone thinks he's a very wise monk. But then he opens his mouth, and everyone realizes that he's actually a gangster from Florida who isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, ruining our perceptions of him being wise. Jason opening his mouth revealed who he actually was. Our words reveal our heart. Jesus says in Matthew 15:18-19 that the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Without Jesus, our hearts are full of sin. What we say, what we do, what we think reflects our sinful nature, living in disobedience to Jesus. Our words reveal our sinful hearts. Though in Christ, he gives us a new heart. Our sinful heart is replaced with a new heart that loves Jesus, that is able to follow Jesus. The words that we speak, the words that we sign, the words that we write or type reveal our new heart. Now, I know that people who don't follow Jesus can still say good and helpful words, though these aren't pleasing to God. For while out of their mouths they are saying the right thing, their hearts are in rebellion to God. And that is what God is concerned with. Our words reveal our heart. For every sermon I preach, I need to have an illustration that involves Brett. Our pastor Brett loves the Parramatta Eels. Yet I don't think I've ever seen Brett wear any Parramatta gear. All I can go on is that I've heard Brett tell us how much he loves the Eels. Over and over, out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks of his love for the Eels. Another example, as leaders of City Youth, we know that you have a heart for these youth because you tell us how much you're praying for us. You tell us of the joy you have in these young people growing up to know Jesus. Your heart for these young people is revealed in you praying for us and telling us. We know the joy of your heart in City Youth because your words reveal it. And so we need to use the words that we say and the words that we want to say but don't to assess our heart. Our words are the evidence, the symptoms of the state of our heart. What do your words reveal about your heart? And so knowing that our words come from our hearts, we need to know that the words we use carry weight and have impact. The wise in Christ know that their words carry weight and have impact, and so are careful with what they say, using their words for the good of others. The words that we speak have a tangible influence. They move and shake things. Words can pierce like a sword. They can stop an army in its tracks and soothe a baby to sleep. Words have impact. And as we speak, our words don't float off into nowhere like steam from a kettle. Our words are like a water hose impacting those in its reach. Even the words that you say to yourself in private impact you. Our words carry impact. And if we have new hearts in Jesus, we should use our words for good. Here are three areas to think about. First, words that nourish others. In Proverbs 10:21, we read, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense." People who follow Jesus are to use their words for the good of others. The word nourish makes me think of a good, hearty meal where you are satisfied and happy afterwards. It's a deep feeling. It's a lasting feeling. Our words can have a real, tangible impact on others for their growth, for their encouragement, for their better, to nourish them. I actually think that in this proverb, given the comparison between lips that nourish and fools that die, I think that these words of the righteous can be so good that there is a sense in which they give life. Our hearts are nourished by good words from others. And I don't think that we need to use many words. We don't need to write long cards or prepare speeches or write extravagant Facebook posts. But I think that a simple, heartfelt thanks can mean so much. Secondly, words that speak for those who can't. In Proverbs 31:8-9, we read, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." Some are within our community, though they speak, won't be heard. We are to use our words to speak for those who aren't being heard, which also means that we need to be listening to those whose voices are being drowned out. We are to use our words for the good of all, but specifically for those who have trouble speaking for themselves. Maybe it's someone within our community who struggles with English. Maybe it's someone who's in an abusive relationship and they are being silenced. Maybe it's on issues like abortion or refugees. We need to speak up for the justice of others, for those in pain, for those oppressed, for those who cannot speak. William Wilberforce used his words to speak up for those who had no voice, slaves. That is how God wants us to use our words, to help others. And words can have real impact. Lastly, words that speak hard truths into our relationships. Proverbs 28:23 says, "Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favor rather than the one who has a flattering tongue." It's hard to correct someone, lovingly telling them that they are doing the wrong thing. But as hard as it is in the moment, afterwards, Proverbs says that they'll respect you because you've corrected them and helped them grow, doing the right thing in God's eyes out of a right heart. It is the loving thing to do. Words can have a real impact. And there are many more proverbs about using words for good, but we also should think about how our words might be used for bad, to harm people. Here are two areas to think about. First, gossip. In Proverbs 11:13, we read, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." And further, in Proverbs 16:28, A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Gossiping can do real damage. That quiet word to someone about someone else that tears them down. What good will come from that? That person is hurt, and Proverbs also says that people won't trust us anymore. On top of that, with the wrong word in the right place, relationships can be completely broken. I think that gossip is a hard one. We have these moments of discussing an issue with someone, or trying to solve a problem, or I'm just concerned about them, when really, it's just gossip. We try to mask it with good intentions, but at the end of the day, if the person you're talking about heard what you were saying, they'd be hurt. Gossip comes from the pride within our hearts, and as hard as it is, Jesus doesn't want us to gossip because the impact is real. Jesus wants us to use our words to build others up. Words can have real impact. Secondly, lying. Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin." The words we use to harm people, lying about them, Proverbs says that we do that because we hate them. Out of hate in our hearts, we speak. We want to see them suffer. We want to see them, to bring them pain, to bring them ruin. Maybe they've brought us pain with their words, but as hard as it is, that isn't an excuse to throw it back at them. We know that this is wrong, though the temptation still exists. With new hearts, Jesus doesn't want us to use our words to lie and hurt people. We are to use our words to tell the truth, to be honest. And if we do lie, we can become trapped in it. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says, "You have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth." The words that we speak have a tangible impact on our own lives. You lie, and now you're stuck living in it. Maybe it's a harmful word that slipped out, and now you've lost a friendship. We can't take back what we say. We can say sorry, apologize, but the damage might have already been done. Our words carry impact. And as we follow Jesus with new hearts, we can't use our words for good and in the next breath use our words to harm. We can't with one breath praise Jesus' great name and then in the next gossip about our friend. In James 3:10-11 we read, "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring?" We shouldn't use our words to harm people. With our new hearts, we're to use our words for the good of others. And when we fail, use our words to ask for forgiveness. The wise in Christ know that their words carry weight and have impact, and so are careful with what they say, using them for the good of others, and ultimately, Jesus. Okay, we spent much of this sermon on our words. I think it'd be wise to spend a moment on listening to the words of others. The wise in Christ listen to the words of others. Proverbs 18:13 says, "To answer before listening, that is folly and shame." We all know someone who isn't the best listener. For us to be wise, for us to truly love people, to value them, we need to listen before we speak. The fool speaks before listening to someone. If we speak before we finish listening, how will we properly answer them? How will we show that we value their words? Again, I think this also is an issue of pride, where we think that what we have to say is more valuable than what someone else has to say. As Christians, we need to value everyone's words. Let's think about us sharing the gospel in this context. Do we actually listen to hear what someone else believes? Or do we just wait for a break in the conversation so that we can just tell them the gospel? As Christians, wanting to share the good news that Jesus is Lord, an important step that we need to do first is to listen. Either because the other person is talking and so that's polite, or because we need to ask them questions to get to know them and understand where they're coming from. We need to listen to be able to meaningfully share the gospel. Now, in all of this listening, I'm not saying that we need to listen to everything in our world. There are some pretty unwise ideas out there. As Christians, we need to use wisdom as our filter, listening to the ideas and people around us, and then use gospel wisdom to accept or reject the ideas. As wise people in Christ, following Jesus, we need to value others and what they have to say, being good, attentive listeners. I want to finish with this. In God's mercy, he's spoken to you in the Bible, his word. In God's kindness, today you are hearing God's word. In God's grace, you have been made alive in Christ, given a new heart, because you heard the good news that Jesus is Lord. Use your words to share the hope that we have in Jesus, the good news that we have received, the words of the gospel. Use your words for good, to build people up, to speak for those who cannot speak, to nourish and correct. But the most amount of good you can do with your words is to tell someone that Jesus is Lord, so that come heaven, they will be with us, using their words to praise his holy name. The wise in Christ know that their words carry weight and have impact, and so are careful with what they say, using them for the good of others and ultimately Jesus. Please pray with me. Father, thank you that you have revealed the gospel to us and given us new hearts in Jesus. We are sorry for the times that we haven't used our words for good. Please do help us to use our words for the good of others and not for harm. Please help us to honor you with our words. Amen.
Thank you for that, Luke. Let us be responding to God's word now. We're going to be singing the song, This Life I Live. So as we sing this song, let us remember of how we're handing over the control centre of our life over to God. Our hearts are being handed over to God. Our lips and our ears, they're all being handed over to God. So let us respond now to what we've heard from God's word by singing This Life I Live. Well, there's been some more greetings that have come in. We've got Tina and Ray that want to say hi to everyone, and Daryl want to say g'day to everyone as well. Don't forget, as we're leaving this morning, our gathering, we're going to have the photo hunt montage. So please hang on for that one. And don't forget, after we finish our formal time together, we go to Zoom morning tea, and that'll happen about 10 minutes after our gathering. How is your control centre going? How's your heart going? How do your words reflect your heart? Is your heart being renewed by Jesus, and is that being reflected in your words and the way that you listen? Does your heart want to speak the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me just finish with some words from 1 Peter. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever loves life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceit. Let's go to the photo hunt montage.